Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Schedule comes out next week. How do you feel about going to Spain?
Sin comentarios. No comment. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you on that one. We'll see Wednesday, I guess, what happens.
Dan Quinn from Ashburn over the weekend, where minicamp was taking place, rookie minicamp, that is, saying in Espanol, no comment on the possibility of playing the Dolphins in Week 11 in Madrid. My mock schedule coming up on the show in about 15 minutes. Already, I've got one wrong because the NFL announced the season opener, the Thursday night, September 4th kickoff game in Philadelphia. It's going to be Dallas at Philly in that opener. I told you guys on Friday, I gave you a couple of games on Friday, and my opener was Washington at Dallas on Sunday night football. But I've got the entire mock schedule coming up here in 15 minutes. Tonight, by the way, could be a night that completely turns around an NBA team. And the Washington Wizards have the best chance, along with two other teams, a 14% chance of being that NBA franchise. Good morning, everybody. Hope your weekend was a good one. Lots of sports over the weekend. I watched a lot of the NBA playoffs. I watched the Caps on Saturday night and certainly paid attention a little bit to rookie minicamp, although you really do have to temper what comes out of these weekends in the spring and even when we get to the summer in training camp. There was a story, Max, that I saw over the weekend that Browns fans were very, very disappointed, extremely disappointed with how their first-round pick, Mason Graham, remember, they traded back a few spots in the NFL draft to allow the number one pick that they had, which was the first round pick, which they had, which was number two overall, to be taken by Jacksonville. And Jacksonville took Travis Hunter. The Browns took Mason Graham, a defensive tackle from Michigan. And based on some highlights of rookie minicamp running drills, Browns fans very, very concerned, according to some reporting, about Mason Graham and what he looked like at rookie minicamp. Settle down, people. Not telling you guys to settle down, but we got a long way to go. Like a whole career, but many, many months between now and the opening of the season, which again will be Philly hosting the Cowboys. Brian Schottenheimer's first game as a head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. But the NBA draft lottery is tonight. 7 p.m. on ESPN before Game 4 of the Knicks-Celtics series. Boston annihilated the Knicks in the Garden in Game 3. That was somewhat predictable. Tonight, Game 4 at Madison Square Garden at 7:30, but the draft lottery at 7. The Wizards have a 14% chance that is tied with Utah and Charlotte to get the number one overall pick. Number one overall in the 2026 NBA draft means Cooper Flagg from Duke. Many believe Flagg will be a franchise-changing player. The Wizards, by the way, are tied with the best odds for picks number 2, 3, and 4 as well. The highest percentages, if you just break it down, are that the Wizards would pick 5th, followed by 6th. The worst they can do in this upcoming draft is number 6 overall. But this is one of those drafts, not necessarily Victor Wembanyama, not necessarily even Zion Williamson in terms of the excitement over Zion as a number 1 overall pick, but this is up there. Cooper Flagg is a great all-around talent and could be a franchise changer. And look, for those who haven't been paying attention, and I know many of you have not, the Wizards have been doing things the right way, in my opinion. You know, hoarding draft choices, keeping their own, which after bad seasons like the ones they've been having, increases the possibility of getting a very high overall pick. They got number two last year. You need to get lucky and get the right bounce of the, you know, lottery ball to have a chance to pick super high, number one overall, when there is a player in the draft, and there wasn't thought to be last year, with Risashe, who went number one overall to Atlanta, and Alex Saar, who went number two to the Wizards. He showed a lot of promise, but, you know, in terms of the hype going into a draft, this one has it, last year did not, and tonight is a chance for, you know, a player that will be perceived, at least going in, as a player that could change a franchise. Tonight, 7 o'clock, to see if the Wizards land on that pick. I'll tell you what, whether Cooper Flagg ends up being that kind of player or not, the anticipation and the hype going into next NBA season for the team that has Cooper Flagg on it will be insane. He will be the first American-born white player selected number one overall in an NBA draft in, get this, 50 years. 1976, Kent Benson, last American-born white player to be picked number one overall. There is going to be a lot of hype around the pick, and the team that ends up getting Cooper Flagg, I think at the very least, will benefit from much higher exposure, media attention, and potentially even from a bottom-line standpoint for Ted and the organization, you know, a real bump in, you know, new revenue opportunities. You know, doesn't mean that he's going to end up being the next superstar of the game, but people will believe that that is a possibility. Tonight at 7, draft lottery. See where the Wizards pick. I don't know. Just feels like with their luck, you know, they've never had number one overall when there's been a, you know, John Wall was not considered to be that franchise-changing, transformational player. But maybe our teams are getting some breaks here. Getting number two when Jaden was in the draft. Getting number one with Cooper Flagg, we'll see. Caps Carolina tonight in game four, 7 o'clock puck drop. Carolina, you know, I watch that game start to finish. Hockey is just fascinating to me. And I'm into it this time of year, legitimately into it this time of year. But it is amazing to me, and you guys can correct me if you think I'm wrong, and Max is a big hockey guy, so Max, you can, you know, tear into me after I say what I'm going to say. But I thought by far and away, start to finish, game three was the best the Caps have played in this series. And they weren't even close, losing 4-0.
Yeah.
They played horribly start to finish in game one, mm-hmm. and actually had a chance to win that game before succumbing in overtime. But I thought start to finish, that was the best the Caps have looked in this series so far. Am I right or wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. Like, game one was abysmal. Game two, they kind of turned it around after the first period, because that first period was not great.
First period was bad.
But game three, this was by far their most complete game. They just had a little bit of trouble adjusting to some of the adjustments that Carolina made. So I'm hoping that I will probably see some lineup shifts tonight. But you know, this is left Caps fans trying to, you know, scrap and claw at every opportunity to tear people down and things like that. Like, people are starting to talk about Logan Thompson and when he's been like out of this world all series. I think he leads the playoffs in goals saved above expected. It's been rough, but I have every confidence that they will adjust and retool to get ready for tonight.
Anderson was outstanding Saturday night.
He has been second in goals above expected. So it's just been a goalie show, and that's probably what it's going to be for seven games.
That's kind of what we've gotten. You know, there was no scoring again in the first period. Carolina, for the first game in this of the three, got the first goal. And then that power play goal that gave them a 2-0 lead. It didn't feel like it was over at that point. But anyway, I mean, Carolina missed on an opportunity for an empty netter. How about the first period near own goal when the Caps were on the delayed power play?
I sent a shiver up my spine, Kevin.
Would that have been? Has that ever happened before?
It has. Now, I don't know if it's happened in the playoffs, but I know it's happened in the regular season before.
Yeah, pretty wild. Well, look, I would say that tonight's in normal, you know, kind of best of seven terms, down 2-1. You know, you better win tonight. You don't want to go down 3-1. But I honestly, I can't even say that about hockey. I mean, they could lose tonight and still win the series. We'll see.
Happened before.
So I got this from Russell. Russell was listening to Friday's show, including our interview with Sean McDonough, the lead hockey voice on ABC and on ESPN. And I had suggested on Friday's show that some of the criticism of Sean McDonough was, you know, kind of fan speak, fan emotion, sensitivity to stuff. And I didn't hear it. I'm a massive fan of Sean McDonough. I have always been a big fan. I think he's one of the best and most versatile to ever do it. People in the business kind of feel the same way. But Russell wrote, Kevin, I think you missed the point with the criticism, and perhaps the use of the word bias is misplaced. He is hired to do a national broadcast, which includes the Capitals fan base. And being honest, the primary viewers of NHL games on ESPN are the two teams involved. That's probably true. It's not like you've got a mass audience outside of the markets of the teams involved. The ratings are just horrendous for hockey overall. I think they're better than they have been in recent years, but they just are very, very paltry compared to everything else, including the NBA playoffs, which, you know, pale in comparison to even something like the NFL draft. But anyway, I continue. He continues, I think you need to go back and listen to that first period again. Whether the Caps were playing well or not, he crapped all over the team constantly. It came across as a Hurricanes broadcast. That was the problem with the call. I honestly can't remember a play-by-play guy on a national broadcast being so tilted in his call in the first period of a 0-0 game. He called it like it was 4-0 Hurricanes. It sounded like he came in with an agenda to harp on shot attempts, not shots on goal. Anyone with hockey knowledge knew that that was the Hurricanes' strategy, and they would out-attempt the Caps. The Caps were better even in period one as compared to game one, but he definitely was striving to make shot attempts to be the story instead of letting the game tell the story. As for Wilson and block shots, several of his plays prevented passes or not. Oh, yeah, I had mentioned that Tom Wilson's total in game two of two block shots seemed awfully low to me, but he wrote, and I think he said some of what you said Friday and Max, several of his plays prevented passes or knocked the puck away before a shot was taken. They don't get counted as block shots. Fair enough. So I did go back and listen to the first period again because Russell wasn't the first Caps fan to be upset that I was not railing on Sean McDonough. I did bring it up with Sean. We talked about it on Friday. So a couple of things here. Number one, and this is something I've said about Sean McDonough before, and I brought it up with him on the show on Friday when he was on. Sean McDonough is unlike most play-by-play guys. Always has been. Some people criticize it. I personally like it a lot. Sean McDonough is not just a basic call the play guy and get out of the way for the analyst. Sean McDonough has always injected his own opinion into play-by-play. And that, to me, is something that I actually like a lot. I actually really like Sean McDonough. I think he's got a very sharp opinion. I think he really knows these games. You know, another guy that does it occasionally is Mike Tirico, and I'm a big fan of Tirico as well. And look, the Caps got their asses kicked in game one and in much of the first period of game two. And that's how he called it. And then when the game turned around, I felt like he called it in the way he was seeing it, along with his analyst Ferraro and Emily Kaplan on the ice. I went back and listened to the first period. I took your advice, Russell. I didn't hear it, man. I just didn't. I heard him doing what he does, which is a little bit different than most play-by-play guys. He injects some of his own thoughts, some of his own analysis and opinion into the play-by-play call, and I thought it was appropriate personally, and then I thought it turned around. And you know, I bet if he had called Game 3 Saturday night, it would have been tilted in the Caps' direction, because I thought the Caps were clearly the better team, regardless of what the score was in the moment. So I personally, from my standpoint, and I acknowledge and admit going in, I'm not the fan that many of you are of the team. I'm just not. So I'm not as sensitive to that, but I didn't hear it. Didn't hear it at all. I think his call is excellent. Love hearing him call hockey, football, basketball, everything he's always done. I think he's very, very good at. All right, we got a lot on the show today. You know, there was a big retirement in the NFL over the weekend. Jaden's mother was on Ryan Clark's podcast.
Correct.
Right, Max?
Yes, The Pivot.
Yeah, you told me about some of the things that she was asked by Ryan Clark on this podcast and answered. We're going to play that for you. I've got some interesting information, I think, that may not be a big reveal. I'm not suggesting that it is, but it's something that I learned actually Friday after the show about one of Washington's draft choices. I'm going to share that with you. The NBA playoffs over the weekend, Friday night's Denver-OKC game was by far and away, for me, the most intense and best playoff game of the postseason so far, and it led to a very interesting result yesterday. We'll get to that. We got a lot of stuff to go, but I'm going to get my mock schedule out. I actually did it on my podcast over the weekend. I wanted to get it out completely. Gave you two games here on Friday. Gave the whole thing out on Saturday on my podcast because I knew that starting this morning there were going to be actual official announcements of the NFL schedule. And we got the first on NBC this morning on the Today Show with Mike Tirico on the Today Show with, I don't even know who does the Today Show. Is that Savannah Guthrie who still does that? I don't know who the other. Oh, is that, what's his name? Lindsay's husband. He's a nice guy. He's the guy that was unfortunately involved in the announcement of the Commander's name back on February 2nd, 2022. Why am I blanking on his name right now? He's good.
I'm blanking too, Kevin. You're asking a 24-year-old.
He was on, I don't watch any of those shows. He was on that announcement because I saw it tweeted out. It was Tirico, it was Savannah Guthrie, and it was him. So I'll look it up during the break. He's very good. I know he is Lindsay Zarniak's husband and seems to be the nicest guy who, again, unfortunately got caught up in that Jason Wright, you know, just absolute, you know, failure of a name announcement back in 2022.
Craig Melvin.
What's his name?
Craig Melvin.
Hey, thank you.
Of course.
Craig Melvin. You know, I'll tell you, if Craig had been a part of the broadcast back in 1984, I'd have pulled it like that. But because it's more recent, just couldn't pull it. All right, my mock schedule for Washington when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, before I get to my mock schedule in its entirety, I did want to just share something with all of you. Again, I don't think it's a big reveal at all, to be honest with you. But I was told this in a conversation after the show on Friday, and I just thought I would bring it to the show. And that is Jalen Lane, the selection of the Virginia Tech wide receiver in the fourth round. I think most of you know that he was a punt returner at Virginia Tech, was also, by the way, a punt returner at Middle Tennessee State when he was there. And Washington, I was told, and again, you guys knew, I think everybody understands that one of the reasons they drafted him was, you know, he had an opportunity to be a special teamer, a punt returner, maybe a kickoff returner. He did some of that, kickoff returning at Middle Tennessee State. Remember, the kickoff return position is just a different position now. It's really treated more or closer to a line of scrimmage play, which is why you saw sometimes running backs back there, you know, like a guy like McNichols back there, etc. Anyway, what I was told, and again, take it for what it's worth, is that he was easily their number one punt returner in the draft on their draft board. And that you can basically, barring him not turning out to what they think he'll turn out to be over the next few months, that is priority number one. That I'm not suggesting that they don't view him as a potential, you know, stretch the field guy or, you know, a jet sweep guy, but that's Debo, you know, in terms of the line of scrimmage stuff. You know, Terry's the, they don't, I don't think they view him as a Deami Brown replacement. I think they view him as a Jamison Crowder replacement. Like, he's going to be the punt returner week one. Again, barring injury or barring, man, we messed up. Not exactly the guy we thought we were getting. Number one punt returner on their board. I don't think any, maybe you guys have discussed this. I'm not paying attention to the granular day-to-day detail of, you know, rookie minicamp and all of the post-draft analyses. I heard that and I was like, knew he was a punt returner. And in my breakdown after the draft, because I did not look at Jalen Lane before the draft, I mentioned the thing that really stood out to me was his vision, his cutback, his decisiveness, his acceleration as a punt returner was actually more impressive than it was as a receiver. He's got great speed. You know, he ran sub 4.4 and can really fly. But the thing that they are so excited about is they had some special teams needs coming in into this offseason when they decided not to bring back Zacchaeus and to not bring back, or they, you know, Zacchaeus they ended up losing. I think they did want him back. But once Zacchaeus signed elsewhere and they decided not to bring back Jamison Crowder, they had a need for a punt returner and a kicker. You know, as Zane Gonzalez, as big as he was, doinking that one in at Tampa Bay, they were looking for something better. They signed Matt Gay to be the kicker after the draft. You know, I do think that there was perhaps a kicker on their board somewhere in the draft that they may have taken a swing at, but they waited until after the draft. They signed Matt Gay, and then they drafted Jalen Lane primarily here early in his career to be their number one punt returner. So if you were thinking about who's going to return punts, that's the plan. Could change because maybe he turns out not to be the guy that they thought he would be. Maybe he doesn't stay healthy. Who knows? Because they didn't have anybody in there. I mean, they had nobody on the roster other than maybe Luke McCaffrey.
Larry Izzo was fist pumping when they made the pick. Like, he was so excited.
Larry Izzo apparently was the most excited, but so were the scouts, so were the R&D people. Now, the funny thing about the pick overall is I also believe that in that fourth round, Washington was sitting with their own pick at 128 overall, and four defensive end edge players came off the board in the final seven picks before they picked at 128. They had been eyeballing Jalen Lane. Okay, they thought Jalen Lane was the best punt returner in the draft. By the way, I looked up some of the punt return, you know, rankings before the draft. There were a couple of guys ranked ahead of him by, you know, the draft experts, but not a lot of guys. He was in the top five, you know, consistently before this draft as a punt returner. But remember, the edges, Jack Sawyer, Baron Sorrell, Kyle Kennard, and the guy from Central Arkansas, David Walker, all went. I think Kennard would have been an interesting one had he fallen to 128, but he didn't. So anyway, there you go. All right, let's get to my mock schedule. All right. Ready to go on the mock schedule? Ready, Max?
We're ready. time.
So I gave out two games on Friday's show, and then I actually put this whole thing out on my podcast on Saturday. But this is for those of you who may not have heard it over the weekend. But it also will include some conversation about the opener, because I'm already 0 for 1 on this. Let me just mention a few things before we get into my annual, you know, ridiculous exercise of producing a mock schedule. Number one is this, and it comes from, where is it here? This comes from, bear with me, Chris in Baltimore. Chris writes, Kevin, big fan up here in Towson. I love your show, but seriously, the fake schedule would be a good bit if you actually got it right on occasion. I respect the work you put into it, but it's a losing cause, because it seems for you your sources don't ever seem to give you the right information. Yeah, Chris, all due respect, that's not really the point of this. I don't have sources on this at all. All right. In fact, the idea is to do it without knowing anything, to see how close I could get it to where the schedule makers get it. To try to play schedule maker. That's what I've been doing all these years. And it's hard. It's hard. But yeah, I don't want any information prior to it. That's why I was so adamant on Friday's show that I had the Madrid thing on my mock before it was leaked, if the leak is even accurate. The idea is not to, you know, ultimately try to find out and use information to get it right. It's to do it on my own without any information. So you kind of miss the point there. This from Seth in Potomac, my guy Seth, who writes all the time. Kevin, the mock schedule is a rite of spring for me, and I imagine I'm not alone. You're an innovator. Wow, Seth. First time I've been called that. The louder the shouting gets to shut it down should be the number one reason you increase the volume. I love that you've dedicated an entire show to it. And I did that on my podcast Saturday. Anybody that demands accuracy misses the point entirely. I can't wait for the mock schedule. Yeah, that it's not. Look, don't get me wrong. When I do this, I'm trying to get as many right. I'm trying to play the Mike North equivalent. We had Mike on the show back in mid-April, one of the key people involved for the last 30 years on the NFL schedule. And by the way, we played a lot of what Mike told us back in mid-April on the show. And there was some good information, you know, nothing that would have been sourced. It was out to everybody. There were a couple of implications there, and I did take some of that into consideration. But yeah, don't, Seth, I appreciate it. And Chris, I appreciate you reaching out. But the bottom line is, my goal is to try to get it right and try to think it out like a schedule maker would. I just understand going in that the number that I'm going to get right is going to be minimal, because I'm not actually trying to find out what the real games are before they come out. I'm trying to think like a schedule maker. I'm trying to take everything into consideration. You know, the rules on primetime games, the rules that allow two high-volume networks, CBS and Fox, to protect some games. I'm trying to think, you know, like the league would, in terms of what are the best fits when it comes to TV, when and where. You know, there are ratings sweeps periods. November is one of the 4 months out of the year that TV is sort of measured on. And so you'll see every year the NFL does save some of its biggest games for the month of November. I try to take things into consideration like what's scheduled in, you know, Landover. Last year there was an Army-Navy game. I knew that there was no way they were going to play Army-Navy on a Saturday and then play a home game that Sunday, the following Sunday. So I take all that stuff into consideration. I don't have access to much of the information that the schedule makers have. Things like, you know, what are the teams requesting? Because teams get to put in requests, and sometimes they're met and sometimes they're denied. But, you know, make no mistake, my guy Seth in Potomac, I am approaching this trying to make it make sense. But, of course, the hit rate's going to be super low, and it's not really the payoff of the segment each year. The payoff is something else. I don't know. You'd have to tell me what the payoff is. For some of you, there is no payoff. For others, you love it. But it is a way, I guess, to kind of satisfy the increasing interest year in and year out on the NFL schedule, which, oh, by the way, is officially announced in its entirety on Wednesday night. But we're going to have another announcement tomorrow. I think Fox has the announcement tomorrow. And that could be the first Sunday afternoon 4:25 p.m. doubleheader game. And then Amazon and Netflix and CBS get announcements in ESPN before Wednesday's official unveiling of all 272 games. Okay. So, yeah. Let's get to it. So, let me just begin with, we now know that my season opener that I mentioned on Friday's show is incorrect. 0-for-1 to start, because at Dallas on Sunday Night Football can't happen, because the league officially announced this morning that the Cowboys are going to be Philadelphia's season opening defending champ, hang the banner night, you know, opponent at the Link. So Dallas at Philly Thursday night, September 4th, to open up the season. We also now have a pretty strong suspicion, because there's been some decent reporting on this. I'm not counting it as fact yet, but it does look like the Chiefs will be the Chargers' opponent in Brazil on Friday night, September 5th. By the way, that game is going to be a YouTube game only. Last year was Peacock between Eagles and Packers. This year it's going to be YouTube only. So, you know, that leaves us, I'm not changing, my mock's going to stay the same, but just for conversation purposes, that leaves, like, you know, you've got six games that it can't be. Can't be the Cowboys, can't be the Eagles times two, right? It can't be the Chargers, it can't be the Chiefs. So it's got to come from a list of the Giants twice, Chicago, Denver, at Minnesota, at Atlanta, Detroit at home, at Miami, if you don't think that Madrid's going to happen and that the news that's leaked is fake news, Seattle, Vegas, and at Green Bay. If I were starting the process today, knowing that it couldn't be, that it was going to be Sunday, because there was a possibility it was going to be Thursday, and I gave you the reasons on Friday's show as to why I didn't think that they would open up at Philadelphia. I just think they're going to save Philly, Washington for an even bigger primetime opportunity potentially, or one in which, you know, it comes in the middle of the season where everybody's going to watch on opening night. Look, the Cowboys are a bigger draw than Washington even is. So they went with the biggest draw on the schedule for Philadelphia in terms of their home opponents. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I would have, knowing what we know now, I would consider Detroit at home on Sunday. I think Washington's going to open up on Sunday night. I do. Maybe could be Monday night, could be that 4:25 game. I'd be stunned if Washington's season opener is a 1 o'clock game on Fox, you know, against the Giants or against Denver or against Vegas or against Atlanta, something like that. I would be very surprised if that happens. All right, here's the mock. Here we go. So the first one's incorrect, but I had at Dallas Sunday Night Football to open up the season on September 7th. Week two, the Chicago Bears Monday Night Football, September 15th. 8:20 kick. Now, we've seen the last two seasons that week two of Monday Night Football ends up being a doubleheader. Whether it's a doubleheader or a standalone game, they're going to play the key featured game, the 8:20 kickoff game, or, you know, the second of the two that airs, I think, on ABC. I like the Bears in Washington to play a high-profile game this year. That's one of them. You know, and I didn't mention this, you know, just real quickly for those that don't know. 17 games over 18 weeks. This is the year in which the NFC's got 8 home, 9 on the road. The AFC has 9 home, 8 on the road. I always take into consideration sort of home openers and season finales before I do anything. Season finales are always a division team. They have finished with the Cowboys for 3 straight years, so I went with either the Giants or Philadelphia for the season finale. 4 out of the last 5 years, they've opened up at home, including 4 straight years, so I went with the road. I don't know if that'll turn out. But I picked Dallas because Dallas has hosted a lot of those Sunday night games. But it's not going to be Dallas. It's going to be somebody else. It's not going to be Kansas City. It's not going to be the Chargers. It's not, we knew it wouldn't be the Eagles. All right. Chicago week two, Monday night football. Denver week three at home, 1 o'clock. Then week four, short week in the first of two short week games at Minnesota, Thursday night football at 8:20, September 25th. October 5th, that is week five, on the road at Atlanta for a 1 o'clock game. I gave them 4 1 o'clock games this year, just four. Denver on the 21st in week three. Atlanta in week five is the second. You'll hear the other two coming up in week five. I gave Washington an earlier than usual bye week. They've been very late on the bye weeks, including December, three straight years. I think Washington's getting an earlier bye week. Now, where this would fail is if they are in Madrid, and I do have them mocked to Madrid in week 11 against the Dolphins. A lot of times you get your bye week post your international game, but that is not a guarantee anymore, and we've seen it in recent years that that has not necessarily been the case. And some teams haven't even wanted it. They haven't necessarily wanted it, especially East Coast teams that are coming back. And by the way, traveling west from Madrid, you're going to gain 3 hours from, or gain 5 hours from Madrid time. Actually, Madrid is 5 or 6. I forget.
I think it's 6, but it could be 5.
Yeah. So I've got a bye week earlier in the season on October 12th. And then I have the first of two against the Eagles. And by the way, the fourth of 6 max primetime games. I've already given them a Sunday night opener, a Monday night week two game, and a Thursday night week four game. Sunday night, October 19th, home for the first of two against the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. I have a feeling that the game, one of the two against Philly, is going to be Sunday night, more so than Monday or Thursday. It's possible it could be Christmas Day. It's possible it could be Thanksgiving night. There are other possibilities for it. I've got it Sunday night, October 19th. And then October 26th at the Giants, 1 o'clock. Their third of 4 1 o'clock games. And then their eighth game comes in week 9, and it's a big one. November 2nd, the beginning of November sweeps, television sweeps ratings period, at Kansas City, Sunday night football, 8:20. I've given them 3 Sunday nights, a Monday night, and a Thursday night in the first 9 weeks of the season. Maybe I'm overdoing it. I don't know. Maybe not. That concludes the first half of my dum-dum mock schedule annually done here on this program. All right? 5 primetime spots, 3 Sunday night games. An opener. Now, I had it against Dallas on the road. That's not going to happen. Maybe it'll be Detroit at home. Who knows? A Monday nighter against Chicago, a Thursday nighter against Minnesota, a Sunday nighter against Philly, and a Sunday night Jaden Daniels versus Patrick Mahomes primetime spot on November 2nd. All right, the rest of my mock schedule when we come back.
All right, bring out the brooms because the Washington Nationals were swept by the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend. They lose 6-1 yesterday. Nathaniel Lowe with the lone home run of the ball game for the Washington Nationals. The Nats will take on the Braves tonight right here on the Team 980. On the Team 980. Nats on Deck starts at 6:45. Tonight, we will find out the winner of the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. The Washington Wizards hold a 14% chance at the top overall pick. Bub Carrington will be the team representative. The draft lottery airs at ESPN on ESPN at 7 p.m. The Washington Capitals look to get going against the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Caps are looking to bounce back after a 4-0 loss on Saturday. Pregame at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. And that's what's trending.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, doing the annual mock schedule. The actual schedule comes out Wednesday night, but we're going to get reveals here, you know, official announcements of the schedule like we got this morning. If you missed it, the league announced on NBC, Mike Tirico did the announcing of the season opener on Thursday night, September 4th, Dallas at defending champion Philadelphia. By the way, September 4th, right now, with a 17-game schedule, is the earliest an NFL season can open because Labor Day is September 1st. Actually, that may not be true. Is that true? Because Labor Day can be an August day, I think. Can be August 31st. But it's very early for the season to open up. So we don't have to wait as long until we get actual real football. And that opening weekend will be Dallas at Philly, Thursday night, September 4th. Friday night will be the Brazil game, and it would appear as if that's going to be the Chargers hosting Mahomes and the Chiefs. So those two games are six potential season openers for Washington that won't be. Two games against Dallas, two games against Philly, a game against Kansas City, and a game against the Chargers. All right. My mock schedule, we're halfway through it, or almost halfway through it. I was wrong already on week one because I gave this out. I completed this last Thursday, started to give it out in pieces on Friday's radio show, gave it out in its entirety on my podcast over the weekend. But I started with at Dallas on a Sunday night. I still think Sunday night is a good chance for Washington. It is, in week one, the second biggest high exposure spot. You've already got the Cowboys, Eagles, and Chiefs who have been taken care of in terms of big-time teams. I think Jaden Daniels at home against now a Detroit or a Chicago, you know, in Ben Johnson's first game, you know, who knows, maybe an at Lambeau. But I also think Sunday 425 could be the spot. But that's not what I mocked. I mocked at Dallas. I'm sticking with it. I can't change it. I got Chicago week two on a Monday night. Denver week three at a Sunday at 1. A week four Thursday night game at Minnesota. A week five game at Atlanta. Week six bye, early bye. Risk putting the bye there because there's a decent chance it could be after a Madrid game in November. Philadelphia Sunday night, October 19th. The Giants on the road, October 26th at 1 o'clock. And then the first half of the schedule concluded with a Sunday night game in Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs. That would be, especially if both teams are good. And I save that game for kind of the November, you know, big, that's the month where they start to kind of focus. You can't help but put some big games in September and October, but you'll see year in and year out, there's a heavy emphasis on making sure that some of the biggest games are in November. All right, it's the last nine games of the season. I've got a Sunday significant second half of a doubleheader game, 4:25 kick at FedEx at Northwest Field against Detroit in the rematch of that divisional round playoff game. And then I have, as I did last week, at Miami in Madrid on November 16th, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Following that, rather than giving them a bye week, and I explained this on Friday's show, but I went with the either-or scenario that Mike North at least implied was in play, meaning they could play in Madrid but probably wouldn't get Thanksgiving, or if they didn't get Madrid, they would likely play on Thanksgiving. I went with Madrid and Christmas Day with no on Thanksgiving. Coming off the Madrid game, they get an extra day coming back east, and they play Monday Night Football at home November 24th, Thanksgiving week, against Seattle. Then they're home against Vegas on Sunday, November 30th at 1 o'clock. On the road, December 7th, a day that will live in infamy, to face the Chargers at 4:25. And then they are home against Dallas on December 14th, that earmarked for a 4:25 second half of a doubleheader game on Fox. And then December 21st, the Sunday before the holiday week, at Philadelphia on the road, 4:25. Now, this is a bit risky, what I did with the schedule here, because the game that follows is another short week. They don't like to give teams two short weeks with Thursday turnarounds, but when you are a team that won 12 games, got to the NFC Championship game, and has a superstar at quarterback, you're going to get some of these, you know, things that they just can't work around. But I went with at Philly on Sunday, December 21st, at home. We've seen Philly play Dallas a lot in that late, you know, going into Christmas week Fox doubleheader game. And then I have what would be potentially kind of a magical kind of a game. At Green Bay, 4:30 in the afternoon, the second of a tripleheader game on Christmas Day. Giants, January 4th, to finish up the season, TBD in terms of time, etc. That's it. One thing I don't like about it is, number one, I got the opener wrong, but I still think Sunday night there's a decent chance of that. And then I could have gone at Philly for Sunday night football on October 9th and played the Philly game at home on the 21st. But the Philly trip is such a short trip. If they had to go to Dallas or to the Chargers, they would have never had them come back and then have to go to Green Bay on Thanksgiving, on Christmas Day. But because Philly is a super short trip, it's not treated as a real inconvenient road game in that spot. So there you go. I mean, that's the mock schedule. I don't know. It would be good to get one right. Most I've ever gotten right, four. That was totally an aberration. I think there have been a couple of years where I've gotten one right but been a week off or, you know, on two or three of them. Actually, for me, the most impressive memory of getting one right was Arizona on opening day, September in 2023. You know, played that one as a celebratory No More Dan Snyder event, and they don't want FedEx overwhelmed with opponents' fans, and that's why Arizona made sense. And then several years ago, I don't know how I came up with this, but I had Tennessee late in the season on a Saturday. And that's what it was, on the exact date, same time. More than not, a lot more than not, these won't be correct. So stay tuned. We'll probably know, I'm thinking, another game, maybe another two before Wednesday night. But the majority of it will be, we'll find out on Wednesday night or when, you know, people start using sources to talk about games on Wednesday for real. So I have a question for everybody. All right. I want you to give me, we talked, you know, a little bit on Friday and we let you weigh in schedule wise. So I just put this up on Twitter if you want to vote on it. I do think they're either going to play on Thanksgiving or Christmas. I don't think it'll be both. My question to you is at 301-230-0980. If the three possibilities are Thanksgiving, Christmas, or neither of those two holidays, which is your preference? You know, when teams submit their requests to the league, often they want to play on a holiday because they think their fans will embrace it. And at other times, they don't really feel like their fans will embrace playing on a holiday, and they request not to be on the holiday. So my question to all of you, and I'll give you the results of the polling so far, and if you want to vote, go to @KevinSheehanDC on X. And the question is, pick one for Washington's schedule. Do you prefer they play on Thanksgiving, Christmas, or neither? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Thanksgiving, Christmas, or neither. Those are the three possibilities. Both is not a possibility because I don't think that that'll happen. You know, you're not going to make, I don't think, Washington play on Thanksgiving and Christmas, although they've done that with Baltimore before. I think they did it with Baltimore last year. Didn't Mike North tell us that? Did Baltimore play on Thanksgiving and Christmas last year? And he suggested that the Ravens probably will get both holidays off this year. I think they did play on Thanksgiving and Christmas last year. Yeah, they did. They played on Thanksgiving night. No, that's not true. They only played on Christmas last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago they played on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So that is question number one at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Thanksgiving, Christmas, or neither. And then number two is, now that we know they're not opening up with Philadelphia, and my mock of them opening at Dallas on Sunday Night Football isn't there, and the Chiefs aren't a possibility because it looks like they're opening up in Brazil, what do you hope their season opener is? And anything else you want to weigh in on the schedule. Phone lines open, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app, and we also stream the show now on the Team 980's YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button, please, for us when you get there, and also hit the like button.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.